Greetings to all in Jesus' name this evening. It's good to be in the house of God again tonight. As we sang that song, I hope that was your prayer to be used of the Lord in whatever way He sees best. The topic already was announced tonight on the heirs of the elder brother. You can turn your Bible to Luke chapter 15. We all know this account on the prodigal son, and so often we face on the prodigal, look at the prodigal son. We all know he was a younger brother who, you might say, came to his father and begged for his portion of the inheritance, and his father seemingly freely gave it. And once he had it, he left home and went and spent his life carelessly and being in want, coming back. And his father's restoring him back as his own son. Also, this passage here is a beautiful picture of how lost things are restored, how God brings them back. And yeah, he brought the sheep back to the fold, restored it with the other sheep. He brought the lost coin was found and was brought back into circulation. And the lost son coming back to the family unit. And yeah, I believe back to the Lord. But tonight we'd like to focus on the elder brother. It's a different picture here. And I believe God put this account in here because it's something very important that each of us has to remember. It's a sobering reminder that outside of Christ, we are nothing. We'd like to look at the setting of this account a little in chapter 14. The last part of that chapter, Jesus was telling the multitude what it cost to be a disciple of His. From verse 25 to the end of the chapter, He touches different areas where He talked about loving Him above all relationships, all family ties, above everyone. He talks about bearing the cross and being in full submission to His will. The Jews were very familiar with the Roman Empire and how they were the supreme authority of their land. And as they were going to execute one of their people, the person had to bear his own cross just to show who was in authority. To the world around him, the poor criminal bore his cross to his death. But that's what Jesus wants from you and I. Be fully surrendered, fully submitted to His will. He talked about counting the cost, about the man building a city or a tower and not counting the cost. Tonight, have you counted the cost in following Jesus? He talked also about the good and bad salt. If a salt is no good, it's neither fit, there's no real place for it. It's to be thrown out. But in the very last phrase of chapter 14, it says there in verse 35, it says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." In verse 25 of chapter 14, it talks about this great multitude He was talking to. This great multitude, He said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Then chapter 15 finds us another group of people. It says the publicans and sinners were there. They drew near unto Him because they knew they needed something He had. They were eager to hear the teaching of Jesus. Verse 2 touches on another group of people, the scribes and Pharisees. They were there to condemn, to pick apart. They murmured. They wanted to talk these things down that Jesus was teaching them. These people around them, these publicans and sinners, were unworthy. They were outcast, just like the prodigal son. They weren't fit to be restored. But Jesus was not concerned about the class of people He was with. He was coming to seek and save that which was lost. His love is for whosoever. It's not for those who understand every law, but those who come in brokenness, wanting Him to be their all. But tonight, the scribes and Pharisees were listening to this parable, and I believe chapter 15, it's there in verse 3, it says, "And He spake this parable unto them." My one Bible I had it broken up into three different, it made it look like three different parables, but I believe they all run on the same theme. And I think we should read the entire chapter at this time. Let's read chapter 15. "Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulder and rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons. The younger of them saith to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would have vain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Bring thither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder brother was in the field, and it came to pass, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time any commandment, thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured his living with harlots, thou hast killed the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. It was meet that I should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. The This morning, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees here and the scribes as they were murmuring, looking at this unworthy crowd around him. These poor outcasts who Jesus was making somebody. They were so careful that they don't defile their law by coming in contact with this group of people. This elder brother had the same problem. I know the title or the topic this evening said errors. And I only could come up with one. I know we can say there's anger there and there's jealousy. But really, I believe when it boils down to self-righteousness. This elder brother thought he knew best. He was lost in his own self-righteousness. Of all the characters Jesus talked about in this parable, I believe the elder brother should have stood out to these Pharisees more, or should have haunted their life because of how the elder brother responded to the prodigal son. Because it's very parallel to their day. The elder brother was perfect in his own eyes. Verse 29, we see him how he explained to his father. He says, he was devoted to his father's service. It says, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee. Look at me. I never left you down. You could count on me." He was devoted to his father's law. "Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments." He was living a perfect life. He did everything good and right, but still fell short of what he was to be. He was entirely out of sympathy with his father's heart. Therefore, he was not able to set a true value on his brother. Being out of sympathy with the father's heart is still alive today. In the world around us, there's many needs. There's many people crying. There's many people seeking. But who will show them the way? The Lord's counting on each one of us to be that elder brother that has that hand of sympathy, that was touched by the heart of Jesus and the love of Jesus, and it's springing from our life. Sympathy simply means a relationship between persons or things wherein whatever affects one affects the other. Having a harmony of interest and aims. The capacity for entering into and sharing feelings of interest of another. Compassion and pity. We sang that one song, that second song. Oh, to be like thee. The third verse said, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender, and kind. This morning, that's the heart of our Father. Are you touched with that this morning or this evening? Sympathy means also an expression of sorrow for another's loss, grief, or misfortune. This morning, the prodigal son lost all he had. Everything his father gave him, he spent. He had nothing to bring back. He was in rags because the father put a robe on him and sandals on his feet. He was hungry. But the elder brother didn't see that. He seen him as an outcast. Today there's many people who are far too good to meet the needs around them. The elder brother, I believe, wanted to put the younger brother on proving. He had to be that somebody before he accepts him. He had to come to his way of thinking. He needed to see a change. We all know what a big brother attitude is. You know, you're growing up. Big brother's always right. We set that in our mind. I'm here and the rest of us down here. Maybe not all brothers are that way, but most times, in the natural sense, that's the way it takes. It has a pecking order. But being self-righteous is nothing for God's people. Being strongly convinced that we're doing what's right, and everyone else, it tapers off around us. Today, I trust we all experienced what the prodigal son experienced. We were seen ourselves as totally worthless. We were nothing in ourselves. We were filthy rags and not worthy to be called a son. But as we come to the Father and plead for forgiveness, He freely gives us. But the devil don't want you and I to be there this morning. He don't want you to feel like nobody. He wants you to feel like somebody. He wants you to feel like that elder brother, a notch above the rest. He likes to come and tell you you're doing a good job. He wants you to believe that others should be listening to you and coming to your way of thinking. He wants you to look around and say, "What did you see? Did you hear?" Self-righteousness. I know what that feels like. It comes in so subtle ways. The devil realizes when we give our heart to Jesus and ask Him to come fill our hearts, there's a lot of sins He cannot tempt us with anymore that were part of our past. We're living in victory over them. But He has this little card He likes to play. He can take your entire hand with a number 3. He likes to sweep it in front of you and you follow it. Self-righteousness. It destroyed many a person. The Pharisees were lost. Jesus talked very plainly to them and told them right what they were. He said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Are you in tune with the Father's heart tonight? When that wandering child comes home, do you feel it? Does your heart beat with the Father? Or are you still nursing your own heart's desires? This elder brother, everything his dad had was his. The younger son blew all his living. His inheritance was gone. And everything that surrounded him was his alone. This morning, if Jesus would be walking through America, what would He say? If He walked through Altoona, what would He say? If He looked into my own heart and your heart, what would He say? Would He feel that steady heartbeat that you're in tune with Him this evening? Or will you find that little irregular heartbeat, the one that beats just slowly, you're almost breaking that cold sweat? I don't know where your heart is tonight, but I believe self-righteousness is something that can sneak so fast. We can say you're in tune with the decrees for to keep. We have devotions, lead singing, have topics, pass out tracts, go to Bible studies. But you realize you can do them all for the wrong reason. I want other people to see who I really am. They're all good. They all can be done for the right reason, but the devil loves to play that card. He stands in the background and promotes this. He can't get you to go back in your old sins. Those who might say chief sins, those big ones, those whether it's you make the list, you know what was in your past. You're living in victory of them, but these little ones, or what seems to be so little, ruin many people today. Tonight, we would like to turn to quite a few passages on what the Bible says or describes as self-righteousness. The other elder brother had this void. Turn into your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 9. It's an undesirable and offensive self-righteousness. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4 through 6. Speak not that thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, For my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God dost drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Here's a reminder how God hath made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he always keeps his end of the bargain. He was always faithful on his part, in spite of our shortcomings. The children of Israel here, many times, yeah, he punished them from time to time for their deeds, but he still kept his promise to bring them into that land, in spite of all their stiff-necked ways, when they took their own way. It's a reproach. It's an offense. Also in Job chapter 9, it condemns itself. Self-righteousness condemns itself. Job chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say, I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. We all realize Job was going through very difficult times, like we heard in the devotions. And so often when we go through these difficult times, we so many times say things that we later regret. Our own words condemn us. Self-righteousness will condemn itself. It has in Job's day, and it still will today. Self-righteousness also is unprofitable. Isaiah 57, verse 12. I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. Isaiah was telling the people here that their good works weren't going to help them at all. Sometimes the devil comes to you, or comes to us, and tries to tell us that our good works is a counterbalance. It won't save us, but it'll help us. Get it up, it'll help us out. That's self-righteousness. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us that salvation is a free gift. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Isaiah 64, verse 6, talks about being filthy rags, self-righteousness. 64, 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the winds, have taken us away. Self-righteousness don't have a good smell. Every verse we read so far has a negative tint to it. Isaiah 65 verse 5 talks about, which saith, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are as smoke in my nose and fire that burneth all the day. That's a total offense. It's a hypocrite. The children of Israel here, in the past, they worshipped idols. They went after evil spirits. They ate forbidden food. And yet they were thought they were better than those around them. The elder brother thought he was a far cry better than his younger brother. Matthew 23, 25 to 28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within ye are full of extortions and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first out that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like the whited sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Self-righteousness is an external thing only. It's not from within. We can say the right things, we can act the right way, but our heart can still be out of tune with the Father, just as the older brother. Luke 11, verse 42. We find self-righteousness is one-sided. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and love, and the love of God. These ought ye have to have done, and not leave the other undone. Do you rationalize and draw lines in your mind this evening? This one's better, this one's worse. Or as needs come up, can you help out? You gave in the offering this morning. Was that good enough this week? Did you do your good this week? I believe Jesus was talking here to them. They tithed, but as needs came throughout the week, they'd done their good deed. This week there will be a need coming your way. What will you do? Can you have that Father's heart, full of compassion, loving and kind? Luke 18, self-righteousness always boasts. Luke 18, 11 and 12. It blows its own horn. The Pharisee stood and prayed, Thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, for I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. That same mentality was with the older brother. Dad, I served you all the years. I walked in your law, your commandments. Look at me. That mentality can sneak up on each one of us. To avoid that, we need to stay in tune with the Father's heart. Follow His steps closely. Philippians 3, 4 through 9, self-righteousness is insufficient. To know Christ should be our ultimate goal, the same as Paul here. We can walk around telling everyone else how good we are or what good we've done, but it will fall short. It's insufficient. Philippians 3, 4 through 9. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, If any other man thinketh that he hath thereof, he might trust in the flesh I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency and of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as but dung, that I may win Christ. This evening, is that your ultimate goal? To have the heart of Christ, to see yourselves as a vessel he can use. Self-righteousness was condemned throughout Scripture. We would like to look at three areas where it cannot make pure in Proverbs 30, verse 12. There was a generation that was pure in their own eyes, and yet it was not washed from their filthiness. Self-righteousness will never make you pure. It cannot save you, Matthew 5, verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. The elder son would not enter into his father's house because of self-righteousness. He set the terms. The terms were drawn in his mind what it took. It says he became angry because he had it all figured out. Self-righteousness rejects God's righteousness. Romans 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. No matter this evening what you do, or how hard you try on your own strength to be a good righteous person, you will fall short of the righteousness of God. The prodigal son was not in tune with his father's heart. Tonight, how does the Father find your heart? Is it in rhythm with his? Like you said, we sang that song, "Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion." As that poor brother comes home, totally worthless, totally useless, can you stoop down and hold his hand and help him walk on? Or must he come around to your way of thinking? God will bring these needs to you. Maybe not this week, but sometime in your life. We're on our own strength that don't make sense. Where we have to lean on the Father's heart and have his understanding. He may come out and entreat you, to tell you to come in, and give you a chance to change your thinking. But the choice is yours. I trust as you face the future that you continue to have the Father's heart and ever be reminded how Jesus talked to the Pharisees here. He said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." He wants us to be sensitive to his voice and his leading. Let's kneel for prayer.